time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back another week here. So I want to talk a little bit about heaven today. I know we're jumping right in, a little crazy. No easing us into it or anything like that. We're just going to get right into it. And by the way, my podcast studio here, it smells of like a fresh salon shampoo haircut type of thing. It's a good smell. And when I want to talk about heaven, I have a lot of questions. I think about it a lot, a lot. But I can't seem to, wrap my head around what it's actually going to be like. Because I really want to know. I want to know badly. For instance, the smell in here. What's heaven going to smell like? Is there going to be a smell? Why wouldn't there be a smell? Nobody knows. I mean, one time I was at this car show and I stuck my head into this customized truck, and it smelled like a fresh baseball mitt. And I was like, that's a great smell. Is heaven going to smell like that? I don't know. Is it going to smell like fresh cut grass? Is it going to smell like smoked meats or sweet treats? Is it going to smell like a perfume of some sort? I don't know, but I need to know these things. Scripture tells us that it's going to be a glorious place. And we've all heard about the city with the streets made of gold and, that there'd be no more sin or death or crying or sorrow or pain or all of that stuff. But to me, there's not a lot of details. I'm just saying I'd like some more details if possible. What I get from scripture is more descriptions of what it, looks like rather than what it will be like. Now, there's several vivid descriptions of heaven, particularly in the book of Revelation. But these revelation, these descriptions in Revelation, they're often, if you're reading that and studying Revelation, symbolic and, sort of open to interpretation, you could say these things, right? So according to Revelation 21 and 22, heaven, or the New Jerusalem, is depicted as like this stunningly beautiful city coming down from God. And it's described as having streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls made of precious stone. The city is said to be brilliantly illuminated with the glory of God. So then there's, no need for the sun or the moon or anything like that. There's also a river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing through the throne of the God and Lamb through the middle of the city's main street. It's like good description. It sounds fun, right? It sounds beautiful. And for me, heaven is a place that I often dream about, a place where there's like this eternal peace, joy, and beauty, a place where, we're going to be united with God forever. But what will heaven really be like? Because honestly, we don't really know for sure what it is. We know for sure that it's going to be great and way better than anything here, for sure. Like, we know that. But what about, food? Is there food there? Some people say, no, we don't need food because we're going to have these new bodies. It's great. But why not? Because our... And you might say, well, we don't need food because of our bodies don't need it. Well, I don't need Cinnabon here on Earth, but I sure do love it. And of all the foods in the world, I think the recipe for Cinnabon's, original cinnamon rolls would, I'd assume they come directly from God's personal recipe book. And you think about food, people love food in general, why would there not be the most delicious food in heaven? Now, have you ever met anyone who you're like, hey, you want to get something to eat? They're like, eat food? Like, you want to go get food? Ew, I don't like food at all. And now I know there's the people with eating disorders that might fit into that mold. But I think in their heart of heart, they like food. They just don't like the idea of what the food will do in their body, that making them a certain way. But still, I think they like food. though. Like, I'm just going out on a limb on that one. Or another detail, my question is, you know, there's this giant city that's described in Revelation, and it even gives you the size, which is massive, like massive, massive. Are we going to have cool cars to get around? Like, is it, will it be our favorite cars, our dream cars that we've always wanted? Like, am I going to get my 87 Grand National? That'd be awesome, right? Or are we going to walk around? Or is there going to be a whole new transportation method? Like, I don't know, transporting. I don't know. I ask these questions to myself all the time. I ponder these almost every day. I think about what it's going to be like. So today I kind of want to sort of go over these glimpses we see in the Bible and try to make more sense of this glorious future. Hopefully we can, it'll help us understand even just a little bit more in the, you know, the breathtaking reality of God's eternal kingdom. So here's, we're going to break it down. Number one, we know that heaven's going to be a place of eternal peace. We all know, or we should know by now, that this world that we live in here on earth is full of turmoil and heartache, to say the least. There's this promise of peace in heaven, which should be a source of comfort for us and hope for us all. So in Revelation 21:4, it assures us he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So the peace that we're going to experience in heaven will be complete and everlasting, with no more suffering to disrupt our joy. And I am so grateful for that. And I'm also really excited for that. And I believe that, right? But the details, there's not a lot of them. And sometimes I tell myself, self, think like a parent, right? Let's just say I want to take my girl somewhere, right? So, but I don't want it to be a surprise. But they keep asking me, what's it going to be like? What are we going to do? What are we going to, you know, like all these things. And I'm just like, just trust me. It's going to be great. And you don't want to have a lot of questions. You don't want to answer it because you want it to be a surprise, because you know it's going to be something that's amazing that's going to overwhelm them, and they're going to have so much fun, and it's going to be great, right? So I think, okay, maybe that's the case right now. Could be. But on the other hand, what if some of my loved ones that I've been, you know, wanting to see when I get to heaven, who's passed before me, what if they aren't there? Am I to think that I won't care? Because there's no sorrow, there's no crying, there's no pain in heaven. So I'd have to assume that I'd just be okay with that. But to me, there has to be some details that make this make more sense to me. And if that's the case, that I won't care when I'm in heaven, and I won't mourn them or whatever, I guess that's a good thing, because you don't want to be up in heaven bummed out about something. It's just hard to imagine. But again, I have to rest on his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So I have to just trust in him and that happening, right? Also, what about the instances where a spouse passes along and then the other person remarries and then get to heaven and they're both there and you got an awkward situation? I want to know what that's like. How does that all go down? I don't know. No details on that. But I'd like to know. Number two. Heaven will be a place of unimaginable beauty. The beauty of heaven is beyond our earthly minds, what we can comprehend, right? John's description of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21:8-21 paints a picture of a city with streets of gold, gates made of pearl. So we're going to read that. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl, the great street of the city of gold, as pure as transparent glass. So the beauty of heaven will reflect the glory of God himself, perfect, radiant, and beyond our wildest imaginations. And I'm positive that I'll find, you know, heaven to be beautiful and breathtaking and gorgeous, or whatever word best describes it. Maybe we don't even have the words to describe it. But again, I also find God's creation here on earth to also be beautiful, such as, you know, oceans, mountains, flowers, sunsets, all these sorts of things. And I'm like, are they going to be in heaven? I don't know. There's no details on that. And also, this is on a side note, everything in Revelation is symbolic, you know, and open to interpretation, like I said. What if that vision of heaven was for John, but our vision will be something? I don't know. There's, because God can do anything. So I have lots of questions on this. So we're going to leave that at that. Number three, heaven will be a place of worship and fellowship with God. So one of the most profound aspects of heaven is the opportunity to be, you know, in the direct presence of God. And Revelation 22, 3 through 4 describes this. No longer will there be any curse by the throne of God, and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So this means in heaven, we'll have an intimate and personal relationship with our Creator. We will worship him, obviously. We'll serve him and enjoy his presence forever. And the idea of seeing God face to face is like this humbling and awe-inspiring idea. And I know there's this part. This is the part where I think I'm sure everybody has said, when I get to heaven and I meet God, I'm going to ask him all these questions. And we all have these questions that we want answered. For one, for me, I would be like, why did you make me so afraid of spiders? Why spiders? But why did you? Okay, so you probably have a good answer for that. But why did you make me so terrified of spiders and bugs, etc.? Why did certain things have to happen on earth to cause, you know, so much pain and trauma and heartache? And why did the Cubs have to wait 108 years between championships? The different things, right? That, and for me, I imagine my first meeting with God kind of going like the scene from Uncle Buck when he first met, you know, his nephew. So check this out.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Obviously, my questions would be, I'd hope they have a little more depth. I suppose you could say that, right? But at the same time, I've heard a lot of people, including theologians, say that we won't care about those questions when we see him, because we'll be so, you know, in awe of his glory, and we'll be like, our whole mind frame and our thought process will be different because we will be in the presence of God. And so all those things just won't matter anymore. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know. Not a lot of, you know, details on that. Crazy, right? I feel like at some point, the disciples, they had to straight up ask Jesus what heaven was going to be like. Yet, we don't have good, detailed answers. Maybe they asked him, like, come on, maybe God was talking about heaven, and they're like, what's it going to really be like? And he's like, don't worry about it. It's going to be awesome. You'll like it. And then they're just like, whatever. I don't know. I think I'd have been the disciple that every day be like, okay, but what about this? What about this? You know, like, he'd probably be like, all right. But I don't know. Moving on. Number four, heaven will be a place where we experience true joy. In heaven, our joy will be complete. untainted by the struggles and heartaches of this life. And in Psalm 16:11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So in heaven, we'll experience joy like never before, as we're fully in the presence of our Savior, surrounded by his love and grace. Which brings me to, like, what brings joy to me today, you know, my family, okay? We know that they're going to be there, you know, if they so choose to believe in the Lord, and they're going to go. So we got that. What about music? Like, there's going to be worship music. We're going to worship. I know that. What about other kinds of music? Are we going to, like, I really like it. Am I going to be able to play music in heaven with the band and all that? I don't know. What about playing some basketball and sports like that? I don't know. These are questions I want to know. Like, we're going to get true joy. Is it, like, what's that going to look like? Not a lot of details other than God gives us the joy. Number five, heaven would be a place of fellowship with believers. Heaven will also be a place where, you know, we'll be reunited with loved ones and have gone before us. The Apostle Paul speaks of his hope in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So we know the people have passed, rise first, then we come and right, all that. So we will enjoy fellowship with fellow believers. So, because all those people, fellow believers, whether they're family or not. And, you know, we might get to meet the disciples and shoot the breeze with them, ask them questions, hopefully, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you would be able to meet famous celebrities have passed before that you were a fan of and talk to them, or maybe we won't even care if that they were celebrities. I don't know. Who really knows? Not a lot of details on that whole thing. But we definitely will be sharing with other believers in the joy of God's presence forever, right? Now, but before we move on, I want to talk a little bit more about this. The whole reason this topic came up for me today to talk about being with fellow believers in heaven. So the other day I was watching one of my favorite shows on Netflix, and I feel like in that moment watching it, this certain instance watching it, I feel like I absolutely understood what this could be like, this to be with other believers in heaven where there's no sin and there's no, like, there's this perfect life, this perfect scenario where you're with other believers. So the show that I was watching, it's called Love on the Spectrum. And I love that show so much. I love all the kids on that show. I guess they're not even really kids. They're in their 20s to late 30s. I don't know. It seems like I'm the old one, right? Now, I'm like these kids. They're in their 20s. That's an old thing. But my point is this. In that show, I don't know if you know what it is. It's about autistic individuals, people on the spectrum, going out on dates, looking for love. And it's not some sort of, like, exploitation or anything that there's no motive to make fun of anyone in this show. I guess if you're evil, you can make fun of them as you're watching it. But yeah, the show has heart, and it makes you root for these people, root for them to find love, to find happiness, and find some joy in life, because we know that their life is hard and they have a lot of struggles, right? But when these people are out on dates, there's always this awkwardness. And sometimes it makes me feel uncomfortable just watching it, like, oh, and I feel sad that it's happening. But they don't feel that same feeling that I do, right? There are times where they feel uncomfortable and they don't know what to say. Sometimes they panic and they freeze up, all sorts of stuff, right? Yet throughout all of this, there's no judgment. No one is like, wow, this other person is such a weirdo. I can't believe they did this. No one leaves the date and goes and talks to the producer, like, to do their interview and says, like, what a loser the other person is. Or even when the date doesn't go particularly well, they still look at each other like equals and with love. Like it's a whole different feeling. And when they go into the date, which by the way, all of them are pretty much blind dates, they don't care at all what the other person looks like. They don't care if they have good skin, bad skin, need some sort of walking stick or wheelchair, or if they're awkward, or it doesn't matter to them. They look at the other person with a complete open mind and an open heart. And they look at him as a person who they could possibly be in love with. And unlike us, neurotypical people who, you know, have first impressions of people, They you can form an opinion just by looking at someone. I know I've gone on a blind date and saw the person for this time, and I was like, nope, not for me, not going to be the one. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, like in heaven, I think that we will be among other believers and have that whole lens removed of any kind of judgment, what people look like, what expectations are, all that's going to be removed entirely, which I think is so cool. And I'm also saying we can learn a whole lot as a society from Love on the Spectrum, because with all the problems that these people have in their life and difficulties they have to overcome every day, their hearts are, I don't know, like so much better than ours, for sure. And this is more of a side note tangent that I'm on right now. But there was a point in watching that show the other night where I said to my wife, you know, I was like, even if I didn't have a daughter that's on the spectrum and we didn't know what that was like, you know, how they're treated, I don't know how you couldn't just love these people on the show. Like, I wish more people could see the heart in people specifically who are on the spectrum, instead of, you know, being so-called weird or awkward, like judged on the weird or awkward things that they do. I just wish that, like, I think we could learn a lot as a society. And I think that they have heart for days and that we all need it. And that's the end of the tangent. That's how we're going to go. Last thing about heaven. Heaven will be a place where we are all transformed. Our current bodies, they're subject to aging and decaying and weakness and falling apart. Boy, let me tell you, mine is definitely falling apart. It seems like every other day I'm like, oh, great, new thing that hurts. Fantastic. Good stuff. Thanks a lot for that. But in heaven, we'll receive transformed, glorious bodies. Philippians 3:20 through 21 tells us, but our citizenship in heaven, as we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. We will be made new, free from the limitations and pain of our earthly existence. Now, here's another thing I'd like to like some details on, right? Our new bodies will be transformed from our lowly bodies into one like his glorious body. What's God's body look like? Are there abs? I've never had abs. I think that would be pretty glorious if I did. Or maybe he has things on his body we don't even know about that we've never seen before that isn't on earth and we can't even picture it. I don't know. It's crazy to think about. What if God if he was on earth, would be considered overweight? And then when we get there, our bodies are the same as his, and maybe we're way bigger, right? Maybe it could happen. And all the people who are overweight on earth could be like, I've always had this glorious looking body. And all the skinny people working out every day for hours at a time, the other ones would be like, you wasted your whole life, you know, like missing out on delicious food and vegging out on the couch. Ha! Who knows? Some details might clear it up, right? I think so. But in all seriousness, heaven is a place beyond our understanding. Through scripture, we get a glimpse of this incredible beauty and joy. And it's a place where we will worship God We'll hang out, we'll fellowship, church word, with other believers and experience the fullness of life with him forever. I say we're getting a glimpse. Glimpses are just a flash. And it is hard for us in our earthly mind to comprehend something that is beyond our earthly mind, right? Yeah, it's impossible. So we're spinning our wheels. We just know that it's going to be awesome. That's all we can. So I'm just going to leave you with a short scripture from the Apostle Paul. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So I hope that this promise encourages us to live with, you know, an eternal perspective, even though we don't have all the details we want. And we can eagerly await the day when we'll see our Savior face to face in the glorious reality of heaven. So that's what I have for you. Hope you have a good one. See you next Wednesday.